Verse number 1, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand together as we read. Stretch your legs for a moment. Acts chapter number 28, the Bible says this. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Father, we come before you tonight, or this morning, Lord, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk. Lord, I need your help today. Lord, calm my mind, calm my nerves, calm my spirit, Lord. Help me now, God, to speak to your people that which you would have them to hear. God, hide me behind the cross. Speak through me. Lord, use me as a vessel, God, for your glory. And I pray you do it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You be seated. Now, here we have a story, an account, if you will, of this man Paul, formerly known as Saul. Paul is the de facto 12th apostle that replaced Judas. He is the envoy of the gospel to the Gentile world. He is one of the, if not the greatest preacher and greatest missionary that ever lived, this man Paul. And here's the situation that Paul's in. Paul was clearly doing the will of God. He was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. In a place where God had clearly led him to. Here on this island of Melita. This was nothing but God. If God had not led them here, they would never ended up here. And in front of a people who could clearly see that these things were true. Look what your Bible says in verse number 2. It calls the people of Melita a barbarous people. That is, they are barbarians. We would call it now like an undiscovered tribe. These are the kind of people that would cut your head off just for kicks. Probably some type of cannibals. No telling what these people were into. A remote tribe here, barbarous people. And look what the Bible says. They showed us no little kindness. Now that's a double negative. That's an old phrase. That is to say they were nice to us. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When you look at the situation, here they land on an island in the middle of nowhere during a storm, cold and raining, shipwrecked. They come swimming up from the ocean to a place full of barbarians. The fact that they didn't kill them right there on the beach tells me that God's hand was involved in this thing. If there was no other evidence, the fact that the barbarians, do y'all realize that's an oxymoron, nice barbarians. That don't make no sense. That's an oxymoron like House Intelligence Committee.
Yeah.
Nice barbarians. And here Paul was in this situation doing what God wanted him to do. And I want you to look at the state he's in. He's been shipwrecked. He's on an island of barbarians. It's cold. It's raining. Everything that he feels like is supposed to be happening ain't happening. And now he's about to encounter one of the most dangerous things on the planet. A venomous viper. A snake.
Paul is doing the will of God in the place where God wants him, doing everything he can to try to be right with God, living his life in a way that is meant to be pleasing God, and he's in this place where God is doing miraculous things, and in the midst of all of that, here comes a snake. Snakes are the type of creatures that show up right at the time when you're at the end of your rope. When you're trying to do the best you can with what you've got under the circumstances that God has given you, these creatures tend to show up. And they serve no purpose on this earth except to harm you. A venomous viper. Listen, I know that there's people that love snakes and collect snakes and play with them and all that. Look up in here. A venomous viper has one job. That is to take you out. Amen. And they're good at it. They're so good at it that they can live years and years and years under those circumstances and grow to be feet long. Snakes. That's what I want to talk to you for just a little while about this morning. About snakes. What should a Christian do when we encounter such a creature? I hope y'all can see this morning that we're not just talking about copperheads out there in the woods. I'm talking about snakes that we encounter in our life. Things that are designed to harm us and have practiced well at it, and they're good at it, and they know exactly when to show up when we're at the end of our wits, and we feel like have you ever felt like, if I could just catch one good break, man, I could keep going, and then all of a sudden you're doing God's work and a viper comes out and grabs onto your hand. I mean, if I could put, I understand Paul was a spiritual man, much more spiritual than I couldn't possibly put myself in his mind frame, but if it was me, I can tell you what I would have said about that time after I finished screaming and cleaned myself up. Whenever I stopped running, I can tell you what I would have said. I'd probably looked up at God and said something like this: "Come on, really? A snake? I mean, I'm doing everything you wanted me to do. I'm shipwrecked. I'm in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of Roman guards that I don't even like. I'm in an island full of people. I'm talking about bone through their nose, running around with shrunken heads on a stick type of people. I don't want to be here. It's cold. It's wintertime. The whole reason we even started this trip was because it was wintertime and I didn't want to be where we were at. And now here I am with a stinking viper hanging off my head. Really?" Y'all say, "Preacher, that's awful bold." No, look up in here. Let's be honest this morning. Yeah. Listen, I'm talking about at the end of your rope. That's when the viper shows up. And here's what I want to preach on this morning for just a little while. This thought: how to shake off a snake. You know what we need to learn how to do? Exactly what Paul did right here when he found himself in that position. Look what your Bible says in verse number 4. "And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though yet he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.'" Now look at verse number 5. "And he shook off the beast into the fire." Christian, I tell you what we need to learn how to do in this world that we're living, because we're going to encounter these type of situations. You are going to encounter things that are designed to shut you down and are designed to stop your ministry, are designed to stop what you're doing for God. And what we need to learn how to do is what Paul did standing over that fire. He just shook it off. Let me give you some things this morning from this text. First of all, I want you to see this. The snake came out in the first place because it didn't like the fire. Look what your Bible says. Verse number 3. "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire," the snake came out because it got too hot. I tell you what was going on here. There was a pile there that they had decided to make into their fire pile, and that snake was already in there from the time they started, and that snake had gotten used to enjoying the lukewarmness of his environment. He liked it where he was at. It was the perfect temperature for him. It wasn't really doing anything. It wasn't really putting off any heat. It wasn't helping anybody, but it was exactly where they wanted to be. Hey, listen, I can tell you this is an attribute that is held true of snakes over the generations. A snake likes to be where it's comfortable at, and as soon as you begin to make it uncomfortable, listen, that's when it will come forth and show itself for what it is. No telling how long that venomous viper had been sitting in that place. No telling how long that snake had been sitting there docile, enjoying its environment. I tell you where a snake, it likes to hide at. Likes to hide in a place that's lukewarm.
Yes.
Hey, listen. That's why there's so many snakes in church in America.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they like to be where it's lukewarm. They like to be, hey, listen. You want to catch a snake? Go out in the yard and lay down a wet blanket.
Lord, yes.
You know what snakes like? They like things that put out the fire. Oh, yeah. A snake will move in on a place that's comfortable to them, but I need you to see that as soon as Paul made that environment uncomfortable, the snake lashed out when the fire started heating up. As soon as Paul started adding some fuel to the flame, all of a sudden, it was too hot. I tell you a good way to identify snakes in the church is just to add some fuel to the fire. Because when things start heating up, they'll show themselves. Are y'all with me this morning? Say, amen. Say, preacher, this is kind of tough. Hey, listen, it's a whole lot tougher if you're one of them. So listen up. A lukewarm church will harbor snakes and they'll never hurt anybody. But when the heat comes on, when God starts working, when people start getting saved, when ministries start growing, when God begins to move, when things start being different than they were before, when your comfort zone gets a little uncomfortable, when the preacher starts preaching in a way that makes you uncomfortable and your toes get to hurting, that's when the snakes will start to show themselves.
Amen.
Here's the interesting thing about this snake. I've always found this interesting about snakes, but especially in this case. This snake had the option when Paul started putting wood on the fire and the fire started heating up and become, by the way, you know what happens when the fire gets hot? It starts becoming useful and helpful to the people around the fire, not just the people right directly in the fire. Are y'all listening to me? That's what happens when a church gets hot and on fire for God. It becomes helpful beyond its original boundaries. I don't have time to preach all this, but listen, here's what's very interesting to me. When the snake started getting uncomfortable from the heat, he had the option to just slither off and go about his way. But he didn't. He chose to take a bite out of Paul on the way out. That's an attribute of a snake. I've seen so many times people leave a church because they became uncomfortable with the heat, the convicting power of God. And it's not enough just for them to slither out the door and go on about their business. Usually they got to take a shot at the man of God on the way out the door.
Yep, that's right.
Usually they got to cause some chaos and destruction on their way out. Usually they got to go kicking and screaming and see if they can prove themselves.
Right.
Why? Why, preacher? Why is it like this? Why did this snake bite Paul? Why do these snakes feel like they have to hurt somebody just to accomplish their purpose? Why is it that way? I'll be honest with you. I've thought about this, and I've prayed about this, and I've studied about this, but the answer to that question is simply, I don't really know, except to say that it's just a snake doing snake stuff. Here's what your Bible says about the devil. The thief cometh not, but this is the only reason he comes. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's it. Say, why is the devil trying to take this away from you? That's just the devil doing devil stuff. Why has this snake got to bite me? Because snakes do snake stuff. Because that's the only thing it knows how to do.
The snake came out because it didn't like the fire. Amen. And preacher, how do we drive the snakes out of our church? Just let it get hot. The snake came out because it didn't like the fire. But not only that, check this out. When the snake bit him, people's opinion immediately changed. Listen to this. The snake comes out. Here's Paul. Now, he's. I don't know exactly how this went down, but the fact of the matter is, Paul was adding fuel to the fire, not just for the benefit of himself and the people that were with him, but for the benefit of the barbarous people that were already on the island. It was cold, it was raining. Everybody went and say amen. What he was doing was not just for him, it was for them. In all reality, if Paul was close enough to the fire to be putting sticks on it, and it was obviously already on fire to some degree, he probably could have warmed himself without worrying about warming everybody else. But instead, Paul chose to serve those around him. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
These people have welcomed Paul with open arms. But then look at verse number 4. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves. Now, pause.
This is what I thought it was going to say the first time I read it. They said among themselves, oh snap, somebody called the doctor. Oh no, Paul just got bit by a snake. They said among themselves, is that a water moccasin? No, that's a water snake. Oh, I'm pretty sure it's a water moccasin. That's what it would be like around here, amen.
That's not what happened. They didn't go into... Their response to this was not to be compassionate toward Paul. Look at their response to it. They said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. Whom yet, though he escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Listen, this is crazy to me. They jumped because of a circumstance. Are y'all listening to me? I'm preaching now. You can get involved right here. Because of a circumstance that they didn't have nothing to do with. You know what nobody in that audience knew? Why that snake bit his hand. I don't know why that snake bit his hand. I don't know why snakes do what snakes do. I'll be honest with you, I don't know why snakes exist. It'd been all right with me if we could go back to Genesis 3 and the Lord, instead of saying, you're going to go on your belly the rest of the days of your life, he just said, ain't going to be no more snakes.
Amen.
I'd been cool with that. Amen. And skeeters. That don't have nothing to do with my message, but while I'm making petitions, Lord, take the skeeters too.
Yes.
Listen. These people didn't know nothing about what was going on right here. Listen to what they said. No doubt. They didn't say, I wonder. They didn't say, could be. Maybe. I heard. They said, no doubt. This man is a murderer. As soon as the snake fastened onto Paul's hands, people immediately began to change their opinion of him based on his circumstances that didn't have nothing to do with them. You know what they thought? As soon as that snake grabbed a hold of him, you know what their mind immediately said? He must have done something to deserve that. Man, ain't that just like a Christian? He must have done something to deserve. God's punishing him. You better go back and read the book of Job. Without even knowing him, they went to an extreme level of accusation. They didn't accuse him of being a liar, being a thief, being hateful. They accused him of being a murderer. Right? Didn't know nothing about him. Accused him right with no foundation. You say, preacher, that sounds crazy. No, it don't. No, it don't. Because this is exactly what happens when snakes start coming out.
That's right.
Can I just preach on myself for a minute? Is everybody okay? I can't preach on other preachers because I ain't other preachers. I'm just me. But listen, I'm telling you right now, when the heat comes on in the church and the snakes start coming out and attacking the man of God, hey, listen to me, there will be those that will bring accusation against the man of God with no foundation because, well, if he was right with God, everything would be going good for him. We don't apply that to nobody else. We don't apply that standard to anybody else. Anybody else in the church gets sick, we say, well, we're praying for you. Preacher, somebody in the preacher's family gets sick, well, he must not be right with God. Come on, somebody. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Everybody in the church gets tied on money. The church says, well, we'll be praying for you. Somebody in the church comes up to them after church and says, hey, listen, how much do you need? Can I write you a check? Can I help you? Amen.
Amen.
Find out the preacher's broke. Everybody says, well, must be blowing all the church's money. Hey, listen, we're talking about Paul here. This is how quick. Paul was an envoy of God directly doing. Paul was nobody. Hear me out right here. He was a man, a tent maker, a regular guy. All Paul ever wanted to do was do something for God. And he was doing it. And had given up his life to do so. As soon as something went wrong, boy, they jumped right on him.
Yep.
Must be a murderer. Must be a criminal. That preacher's done gone off the rails. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on now. When the snake bit in people's opinions, I tell you what, you better be careful. You better be careful about making judgments on people because of the trials that they're dealing with.
That's right.
Because 99.9 times out of 100, what they're dealing with don't have nothing to do with you.
Amen.
You know where trials come from? They come from God. You know where Job's trial came from? It originated with God. But when his friends showed up, they had all the answers. Hey, you better be careful about how you start answering everybody else's problems. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If Paul hadn't killed nobody, then that snake wouldn't have been it. Hey, listen, it's hard to defend yourself against something that don't even make no sense. Mm-hmm. I'm preaching now, y'all. Just you come along for the ride. Amen.
Shaking
off snakes. Hey, listen, that's what I'm trying to do this morning, just shake off some snakes. Here's what I really want you to see this morning. Now, Paul was doing the will of God. The snake shows up, does what snakes do, takes a bite of Paul. The people immediately start turning on him. Man, that's a tough feeling. I can't get off that. All thing I can do is be real with y'all. I'm trying to stay spiritual right here. But I'm going to tell you, it's a tough feeling when you spend your life ministering to others, loving on people, caring about people, going to depths that nobody will ever know about for people.
Amen.
And then one thing goes wrong, and them same people look at you and say, must not be what you purported yourself to be. He ain't no cap. Oh yeah. You do. I tell you what you do. You go out here and serve God and do something for God and come back to me in a decade or so and you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Paul, by the way, there's nowhere in the text does it say that all the people that Paul had just essentially, and for all intents and purposes, Paul had just saved a boat full of people from a shipwreck. They ought to all be dead in the ocean. If Paul hadn't been with them, they'd all been dead. Nowhere in the text does any of them stand up and defend Paul. That's very interesting. Nowhere in the text does none of them other people who Paul's converted on. How many people you reckon Paul had given the gospel to and converted on that boat ride so far? And not near one of them stepped up and said, hey, y'all better let Paul alone. I tell you what will make you an unusual person. I'm going to move to my last point. I tell you what will make you an unusual church member. I'm just...
I'm out there now. We're just out here. We're gonna preach it. I tell you what will make you an outstanding, unusual, exceptional church member that's different from the vast majority of the population of church members. Y'all listen to me this morning, say amen.
Amen.
If you just have your preachers back.
Yes.
If you just have your preachers back, that would make you one of the most unusual people on the planet. I'm serious.
The snake came out because the fire come on. The people's opinion of Paul began to change, but here's what I really want you to see this morning. Because right now you're thinking, preacher, this is awful depressing, but hear me out right here. The snake was never a real threat.
Wow.
Look at verse number five. And he shook off the beast into the fire. Listen to this phrase. And felt no harm. Paul was never really hurt. It only looked like the snake was going to take him out. But there was never a point where the snake had the power to take away from Paul what God had given him. The snake never had any real power over Paul. The snake was simply lashing out because that's all it knew how to do. But there was never a moment where Paul was in any real danger.
Amen. Amen.
Say, preacher, I got a snake hanging on me. You're not in danger. The snakes are not running the show here.
That's
right. God is.
You know what Paul did? Shook it off. You know, I imagine it like this. I imagine he done what I do when I'm walking through the woods and I hit a spider web. Y'all ever seen that kind of kung fu? That snake bit. Paul said, hold now, get off of me. He shook it off. God had control of the situation from the very start.
Amen.
Look at verse number 6. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him. Now, this is how people do. They formed their opinion on the front end, then they stood off to the side and watched.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Can I tell y'all something? They some that's left out of here because of some things snakes have done, they just stand out there watching.
Mm-hmm.
Look what happened. The Bible says they changed their minds. Why? Why did they change their minds? This is good. This will help you. I'm almost done, I promise. But this will help you if nothing else I say today don't help you. Look at what they said should have happened to him. This is so... Man, this is... You don't want to talk about your preacher being under conviction. Stay with me. I'm going to show you something. Listen to this. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen. They were looking for him to swell up. When the snake bit him, are y'all listening to me? I promise I'm fixing to make this make sense. When the snake bit him, he come under attack. Everybody stood off to the side to see if he was going to swell up. Can I tell y'all something, church? I'm bad for that.
Amen.
Swelling up. Oh, yeah. And hey, let's be honest this morning. When the snakes come out, man, that's the first thing I want to do. Swell up. You ain't bite me. Let me tell you something, Mr. Snake. You ain't fixing to take me out.
Amen.
I'm talking about pride.
Yep.
Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. When Jesus said, if a man smites you on the one cheek, turn to him the other, he wasn't talking about being a coward. He was talking about being letting loose of your pride.
Right. Yep.
He was talking about not engaging the enemy for the purpose of proving yourself. He wasn't saying if a man's beating you to death, lay there and let it happen. He was saying that you don't have to prove to the enemy that you're strong enough to take him out.
Amen. Amen.
They looked for him, hey listen, to swell up. Get mad. Y'all okay?
Amen.
Hey, preacher, how come when somebody does you wrong, you don't go out here on Facebook
and put a post on Facebook about how much you hate them. Are y'all listening to me now?
Yes.
Are y'all listening to me now? Hey, Christian, how come you don't do that? You don't do that. Why? You don't do that. Why? Because everybody around you, when that snake gets in your mess, is looking to see if you're going to swell up.
Yep.
You know what? And you know what they're going to say? There's the real them.
Yeah.
There's the real them. See, I told you he was going to swell up. I bet they're sitting over there on the side casting lots, making bets. Mm-hmm. I bet you he swells up in the first 5 minutes. How many times they done seen somebody get bit by a biker swell up and die?
Right.
They look for him to swell up. You know what else they look for him to do? Look at your Bible. Or falling down dead.
Right.
They were looking for him to quit.
Yeah.
To lay down and give it up. When a snake gets a hold of you, I'm telling you, there are people on the fringes of this thing that are looking to see if you're going to quit. When things get hard, people are watching you.
Yeah.
They want to see if you're going to fall down.
Right.
You know why? Because they're looking for a justification because they've already quit.
Amen.
If you never started, that means you already quit.
Okay.
And you know what? Here's what they want to be able to say. They want to be able to look at you and say, see, I told you it wasn't real. See, look. He got in one hard situation and quit. Tell you what, we better be careful when the snake gets on us that we don't swell up. We don't fall down. By the way, I want to say thank God for a church. Thank God for a church that's here to help you in that situation.
Amen.
I tell you who will keep you from falling over dead, the people in this room.
Amen.
He should have swole up. He should have fell over, but I tell you what he did. He just kept standing. He didn't even walk away from the fire. The Bible says when he shook off the serpent, the viper, look at your Bible. He shook it off in the fire.
Right.
He didn't even leave where God had him.
Amen.
He just kept standing in the place where God had him. And look at your Bible. The Bible says that after a great while, they watched him for a great while, a long time. Paul had to stand there while they were watching him, judging him, looking at him, thinking that he was going to give up and die and quit and swell up at any time. But after a great while, they came to the conclusion. Now, we're talking about barbarians here. Y'all women say amen.
Amen.
Their conclusion that they drew was that he was a god. Look at Bible, little g god. That's verse number 6. Obviously, that's wrong. But here's what I get from that. They looked at Paul, and here's what the conclusion they drew. When he didn't swell up, he didn't fall over dead, and he stayed there at the fire, they looked at him and they said, there's something different about this guy than anybody else.
That's right.
He has something that we do not have. He possesses something that is unique. Because none of us would have done what he did.
But he had to keep standing. Say, how long? For a great while.
Yeah.
It's where that long suffering comes in. Mm-hmm. Them fruits of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, charity, that Holy Ghost manifests in love, suffereth long. Sometimes you're going to have to love somebody for a long time while they don't love you back.
Amen.
Now, there's lots of ways to go about that. And I believe that there are circumspect ways to go about that. That don't put you in, embroil you in more problems. But sometimes you're just going to have to love somebody while they don't love you back. You say, preacher, I'm suffering with this. Keep doing that for a long time. Then you'll be in on that long suffering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep standing. I'll tell you what the church ought to do. Say, preacher, there's people that think that this ain't real. I'll tell you what the church ought to do. Just keep standing for a great while.
Amen.
just keeps that Christian. There's people in my family that hate me, think I'm a fake and a fraud and a hypocrite. How do I've had this question so many times. Preacher, how do I deal with this? How do I get them to see? Just keep standing for a great one.
Amen.
Just keep standing. How long? As long as it takes. When it's time for you to quit standing, you'll know. Because the Lord will take you home.
Amen.
I like the way Paul said it. This same Paul said it in Ephesians. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. How do we shake off a snake? Just keep standing.
Amen.
Just keep standing. See it for what it is. It's not a threat.
Amen.
God's work cannot be destroyed by the hand of Satan.
That's right.
Can't be done. So just keep standing. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Standing up.